So, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to one of the Visio sessions. My name is Shinai. I'm happy to present a little bit about how Visio can be used in, well, business process solutions. And during that session, you will see many, many things. You will see many solution type solution scenarios, and especially you will see what you will not see, and that is Visio as the product. You will see Visio as a component of a solution, and together we'll lead you through the whole solution scenario, why, the how we did it technically, etc. Next to me is Maria Sorla from Malik Management, but she will say a little bit about herself. So, let's start. Come on. Thank you. Okay, so using Visio for high-end business process consulting services. Many of you certainly know that Visio is a very nice tool to create, well, all sorts of business diagrams. What also many don't know is that Visio is not only a tool, it's not only a product, it's also an engine. It's a graphical engine which you can drive, well, with lots of different data to create very special diagrams, very special visualizations. As long as you stay in the two-dimensional space, Visio will be the ideal tool for you. A little bit about myself. My name is Shanai Lelic, and I will be the, well, more technical speaker, so I will tell you what we did to make Visio do the stuff you will see in a few moments. And my expertise, well, I'm one of the Visio MVPs. In fact, I'm the Visio MVP for the German-speaking part of Europe, and I'm, well, for a pretty long time, a Visio MVP over there. What I do, well, of course, Visio services and SharePoint adaptation, consulting, and training. And, of course, also process skills and knowledge for solution development, which we then used and did in this solution scenario. So I'll hand over to Maria, who will lead you through the first part of the presentation.
Thank you, Shanai. Welcome from my part. As Shanai said, I'm more the business part of this presentation. I am working at Malik Management, which is a small consultancy firm in Switzerland. And what I do there, I'm basically leading all the restructuring projects that we do in our company. And what we do is general management, so we do restructuring projects, strategy projects, and change projects. Maybe a little bit about Malik. Malik is a spin-off of the University of St. Gallen, which still is one of the very famous universities in Switzerland for economics and business. And basically what happened is that some professors got together and had this idea of doing a management consultancy firm, and that's how we started. And what is special about Malik Management is that we base all our methods and tools on holistic management cybernetics, which is the science of functioning. If you're interested in the details of what that is exactly, I have a brochure here, so you can pick up one anytime you like. Now, why am I here and why am I presenting a software? Basically, I have been a project manager for many years for Malik Management, and I have done a lot of projects. And for the ones of you who know how restructuring projects are, they will know what I will be talking about. For the ones that don't, I think it's enough if I tell you a restructuring project goes on for about 2 years, and out of a restructuring project comes a lot of information. So what we have is basically we have a very long time of a long project time, and we have a big, big output. So while I was doing these projects, I had concerns that I couldn't depict all the information I had, and the customer couldn't really use all that information. So this is how the software thought came. Now, before I go into the actual idea, I want to explain to you the model which we use. And the model which we use in restructuring is called the viable system model. So this model is basically a tool to do restructuring. And this model will be explained shortly in a video, has some certain steps that you follow to do a restructuring project. I think it's best I quickly show you the video first so you get an idea of what I'm talking about. Let me know if it's not loud.
Perhaps the most effective system of control is the human nervous system. able to maintain our viability in a rapidly changing world. If we identify the key control mechanisms that ensure this viability, we can create a model that might be applied to a business or any other social organization. Let's start with the basic units of such an organization interacting with the outside world. The division in an enterprise, the state in a country, or the team in a large project. There's always a management controlling an operation that is doing something in a changing environment. Environment, operation, and management together form the fundamental unit of an organization. The environment and operation dynamically interact. For example, the operation serves its customers in the environment, just as the expectations of the customers influence what the operation does. In the same way, management and operation interact. For such interactions to be effective, a maximum degree of autonomy, freedom, and flexibility is required. When we look at several units, there is almost certain to be an overlap between their environments. One example involves serving common clients. There are also likely to be dependencies between operations because of benefits from the use of common resources. These overlaps and dependencies need to be regulated to coordinate activities and prevent conflicts. This coordinating system involves meetings, schedules, general guidelines, shared services, and other supporting functions. The focus of management within each unit is to run its own operation effectively. Therefore, there has to be a system to oversee and optimize the units. This ensures that the whole will be more than the sum of its parts. It's the job of this senior management to detect and realize potential synergies and to design the coordinating system itself. It also has a direct interaction with local management, for example, to give directions, allocate resources, and resolve disputes. For informed decision-making, senior management also needs to access unfiltered information direct from operations in order to see what's really going on. It's easy to see that such operational spot checks, audits, or inspections can highlight anomalies, whether in a business, a state, or a project team. So far, we have an optimized organization going about its everyday business. But what about the greater environment? And within that, how to deal with opportunities and threats, new technologies, competition, emergent markets, new laws? There needs to be a senior management system focused on this greater and changing environment, outside and then, in addition to the system concerned with inside and now. It is responsible for the detection of such external changes as they happen, and for ensuring that the organization adapts in a proactive way. Planning for tomorrow might well pose threats to current operational needs, and vice versa. What is required is to balance the needs of the future with the needs of the present. This requires a very open interaction between these two systems. However, even where this interaction is balanced, situations may arise which lead to deadlock. What is needed is a normative decision at a higher level. This requires a third system of senior management. Here lies the responsibility for the definition of the purpose, mission, and boundaries of the organization. It lays down organization-wide guidelines, as well as observing the ongoing balance between what is right for today and what is right for tomorrow. These five systems provide the necessary and sufficient conditions for the viability of an organization. In one form or another, they are found in any system that is viable, whether natural or social. However, while evolution has structured organisms in this way over millennia, social systems need to be designed for viability. We started by looking at the management, operation, and environment of a single unit within an organization before going on to consider what is necessary for several such units to form a viable system together. We also stated that the operational units must be viable in their own right. They need the flexibility, authority, and identity to maximize their relationship with the customers in terms of their own operations. What this means is that if we look at any one of the units in more detail, we discover exactly the same structure. This is true for each of the operational units. In general, every viable system contains several viable systems and is itself part of a higher level viable system. This principle of recursion allows you to apply the model to any hierarchical level in your organization, independent of size, complexity, or type, using the same diagnostic tools and methods. The model allows focus on any particular level of an organization, while taking account of the impact of higher, lower, and external systems. It is a model for any viable system.
All right, that was a very brief overview of the model, which is not our focus today, but I just wanted you to get an impression of what we're using, because this is what is used in the software. So basically what you've already seen is that we have graphics. So we work a lot with visualization in our company. So on the one hand, you have this model, this viable system model, which consists of those systems that you just saw and of the communication flows that go between those systems, and they are embedded into each other. So every system one, the blue thing that you saw before, is in itself a viable system again. I don't know if you know those Russian dolls, they're called matryoshkas, that are one is in the other. So that's the principle. And this principle is called principle of recursion. Well, now that was the first part. This is just the graphics. This is basically just the basic structure of it. Now, obviously, all of that is fed with information. So we're not just talking about some boxes and some lines. In those boxes and behind those lines, there is information. And this information we gather through the project process, which I'm going to briefly show you. I'm going to skip through that since we saw the video. I'm going to go straight to that project procedure. Basically, What we do first is we define the basic structure. It's what you just saw. And what we say is the structure has to follow our strategy. But that's consulting a content, so it's not really interesting for you, I guess. The second step we do is we try to find critical management tasks. So there, the first chunk of information comes in. For you to imagine the amount of this information, we're already talking here about roughly 75 tasks, which are then multiplied by 4, and then again broken down into under-tasks of the task. So we're talking about a huge amount of information. Where do those tasks come from? Well, basically what we're doing is we're asking what tasks do we need to maintain viability, which is then again linked to what does the customer want. And what the customer wants, the answer to that is those critical management tasks. So once we have filtered out those tasks, we allocate them to the levels. So we allocate them to the levels of management. So basically what happens here is you distribute those tasks among those viable systems, which are basically units. So let's say, let me take a very simple example. McDonald's, everyone knows McDonald's. So if you would have one viable system being McDonald's International, and let's say that they're structured regionally, McDonald's International would have 2 subsystems or 3. The one would be called McDonald's USA, the one would be called Europe, and then if you would go and dive into the USA, you would break that up in, let's say, Massachusetts and Nevada and so on. So you break it down to management levels. So what you do is you distribute those critical management tasks to those levels, and then what you work out of that is system functions charts. So that's functional charts, basically, but going into a more deeper level because you have the approach of what is a system 4, what is a system 3, which basically means which of those tasks are strategic tasks, which of those tasks are operative tasks, coordinating tasks, and so on. But then again, that's a lot of detail, but I think you needed to understand the software afterwards. Out of that come job descriptions and basically the deep structure of the company. So basically what you have is you have the surface, which is the drawing, which is all those systems and those lines, and then you have a lot of information. And this information ranges from job descriptions of individual functions, of the CEO, of the CFO, or of meetings, input and output of those meetings, communication channels, policies, and all there is which is actually explaining how a company functions. So now, why VSM Interactive, which is basically the software? Well, you could argue two ways. You could say maybe Maria is a lazy person and she was fed up filling in flip charts, because that's what you do when you're consulting. You're filling up spreadsheets, flip charts, Excels, I don't know what. And then you have to transform it into the next step. So basically what I was doing, we were going through each of these steps, generating a huge amount of information. So on the one hand, this is very difficult for a consultant because it's very time-consuming. On the other hand, the output is not transparent at all because you just end up having stacks of paper or maybe Excel sheets. So what we wanted to do is basically we wanted to pour that into a software. And basically what we did with the software is we tied the design, like the surface, with the information. And for that, we used Visio for the drawings, and SharePoint for the data. So what we did is we linked those two together so that you can access the information through the graphics. Now, because as I stated before, it's not only the output for the customer, but it's also how you work, we basically have a software which takes you through each of those steps. So the information that you gather, you type it directly into the software, and the software transforms it already into your next step. So basically what it does, you fill in parts of this information, and parts of it is generated by the software because it translates those steps. And the nice thing also about the software is that it works in all directions. So you can start with step one, or you can start with step six. So it's, I don't know what the word is in English, bidirectional, I guess. So you can start anywhere. And what it does is basically if you start from the back, it translates the information to the front. And if you start in the front, it goes backwards. That's important for us because not all projects are the same. So some projects will focus on the first two steps in the beginning because you've convinced the client you need to do something about your business. And others start from the back. They say, I think we're perfectly organized. And then we go, okay, let's see what you got. So we map what they have, and then it's translated to the front, and we see, well, that's not a lot what you have, because you end up having five tasks. You cannot possibly think that your organization is viable with five tasks. Anyways, enough of theory. Let's go into maybe showing you a little bit of the software at this point. You have anything to add, Shannon?
Well, yeah, thank you, Maria. Well, the basic question was, how should a software doing this job look like? How should a software doing that job work? I mean, of course, we said Visio on the one side, SharePoint on the other side. The question is, however, who will be the standard user of that software? And as we heard, it's consultants. They're known to be very smart, but they're also known not to be the IT-centric guys in the world. So we tried to, well, do both things. We tried, of course, to bring the Malik method into a software-based standard process, as Maria said, helping the consultant, leading the consultant, or even the customer in the second phase through the process, and also give the end users, the customer, the ability to go on with that. After the consulting phase has been done, they should go on with the method, using the method, perfecting their organization, and by this also making it, well, more and more better every day. On the other hand, as said, even those users in the, well, are at the customer side are usually not necessarily IT pros. So what we needed is a easy to use, easy to understand, and also, I mean, no risk in using way of software, and also to standardize the user scenarios. That's one of the big advantages of software. It works always the same way, so people can memorize, people can easily adapt, and people can easily use that software. So that was the basic idea of the project challenges. Now, that's also a nice theory. If we say, now let's make a software from that, that is where we came into play, and that is, what were the challenges while we, well, envisioned and planned the VSMI software for Malik management? Now, the first thing is, as said, people using that software are usually not necessarily IT pros, and they're usually not necessarily completely familiar with the VSM, well, idea and methodology in total. So what we needed is easy user interface. The second thing is, as you have seen in the video, there is a lot of rules behind these diagrams. There is a lot of things that must be kept correct, which must be also maintained correctly. So the enforcement of those rules was also a very, very important part by this helping customers, helping the consultants. And also, as Maria said, there is a huge amount of data being created. Well, this amount of data needs to be handled. So what we needed was a way to handle the data without letting the users feel the complexity of the data, but just give them, well, that's your next step, that's the next things you need to do in the software. And also, on the other hand, we didn't envision a software which was completely special in any, well, in any bit, in any detail. Malik wanted to, well, use standard software components for this solution, and of course Microsoft, as being one of those big software companies offering basic components, well, it was pretty near and pretty clear that we would use some Microsoft environment components to create that software. On the other hand also, we needed a very powerful graphical engine, because as you have seen, this VSM is a very specific way of visualizing systems, and we needed, of course, a software, a graphical engine, in fact, which would, on one hand, be easy to understand, and on the other hand, be, well, flexible enough to be able to create this specific type of diagram. And, well, to make the long story short, Visio was, of course, the ideal component, the ideal solution for that. So, what was the idea? What should we do in the VSM software? Well, of course, the VSM software needed to support all elements of the consulting process, the planning process, entering of the data, automatically creating the next steps or evaluating the data and creating the next part. I mean, we will see that in the software itself, the creation of the recursions, adding of actors, modification of the systems, adding metadata of the systems, all that needed to be in the software, but in a way that the user would not be overwhelmed with the whole complexity of the data he or she is about to enter, or he or she needs to be able to do the next step. So, technically, what we're talking about, on one hand, is a Windows Forms application with custom components which form the basic user interface. And within this user interface, and that's why I said in the beginning of the presentation, you will see Visio and you will not see Visio, is Visio as a graphical engine. So there is a part of the software where Visio is running, however, in a very specific way, which we need to be able to create those diagrams, to maintain those diagrams, to give the user an user interface to create the system diagrams, however, not have a standard graphics tool around it. And of course, support the key concepts and components of the VSM notation, which is very specific, as we have seen, and to capture the data for the consultants of Malik management or even the customer later on. So just to give you a very, very brief overview, and I'll come to a little bit more complex overview in the next slide, is that's how the VSM structure is. In general, we have the client, well, of course, several clients because we have teams working on that. Then there is a server component which does the magic on translating the graphical output or the graphical input into the next steps. And SharePoint, Microsoft SharePoint, as the persistent store, which we use in a kind of database way just to store the data. And it's a huge amount of data which is being created during the whole consulting process. So that is the overall structure. Let's go a little bit more into depth. And I'm not going into much depth in these separate elements, but as you see, there is, of course, the user interface part, there is the SharePoint data part, which will then translate to, well, of course, lists and list items. We have also the SharePoint connection component, because as many different customers as they have, well, so are their environments. So we need to support a huge amount of different environments, customers having this version of Visio, this version of SharePoint, not having SharePoint at all, saying, okay, I do want to install SharePoint, or maybe, well, maybe not in-house. Could we have something like a cloud-based approach? So Office 365 was a very natural choice. And also, well, consultants, well, primary tool, Excel, well, we needed some kind of Excel import and export to be able to, well, give the data in another way to some external tools or components. So what you see here is, well, basically how this software works. And there is one small thing which I would like to emphasize also, and that is this here, diagrams. As you see here, well, it says editable, viewable, etc. When people work with the software, there is, for very natural reasons, a differentiation in the users. We do have some users who should be able to create the diagrams, to modify the diagrams, and to really influence the diagrams and the metadata. That is usually a smaller part. And then there is a larger part of the users who should be able to consume the diagrams, which means they should be able to access the diagrams, to access the metadata, but they should not be allowed or given any possibility to really modify or change the structure of the diagrams. Classical, we do have some creators or modifiers and some viewers. Well, excuse me. Usually we'll need two different software components to achieve both tasks. Well, what we did here in the VSMI software is it is a viewer and an editor software in the same moment, and we can change just by user configuration whether a user is able to modify or just to view the software. And I will show you then in the software together with Maria where this is taking place and how this is being done for the end user, because what we did not want to do is two completely different user interfaces. So what you will see is that the most part of the user interface stays the same, just there is one part which will be able to switch between a viewer only and viewer and editor mode. So that in general for the software architecture. As said, a little bit more technical details. It's a Windows Form 4.5 solution. It is by default using Visio 2010 and, of course, Visio 2013, the new version as, the diagramming component. We'll come to the Visio 2013 in a few moments, too. As said, SharePoint is the persistence technology, and the backend is usually intransparent to the user because the users should just work through the user interface of the VSMI software to modify, store, and also to view the data. As said, we needed to support a huge amount of different environments, which included SharePoint Foundation, SharePoint Server 2010, 2013, and also, of course, Office 365, especially for, well, smaller organizations or decentralized organizations where they didn't want to have all that stored in the central SharePoint data store. What we can do now is, of course, we can show you a few, screenshots, but we will show you the software live running, which is more fun. There is just a few things I would like to point out in the screenshot. That's why we left them in. The first thing is, if you look down here, you will see something which, well, pretty much looks a little bit or feels a little bit like Visio, which in fact it is. As you see, we do have the standard stencils for this type of diagram stored here. So users can, as Maria said, not only, well, let the software create the diagrams, the users can also modify the diagrams, if they're allowed to, by just adding shapes to the diagram or moving or modifying shapes. On the other hand, we do see, well, for those of you who know Visio, you will immediately recognize the user interface, the Visio control doing the creation, the placement inside of shapes, so all the magic that needs to happen so the model really is correct and, well, never corrupted or corruptible. That's one of those things. We will talk about the, well, recursions a little bit later. Maria will delve on that a little bit deeper. And that is the model itself. So as you've seen in the video, which was the theoretical part, well, that is the Visio diagram. And that, in fact, is a Visio diagram which is being generated and regenerated as much as necessary. And all these elements are really Visio shapes. That's why I said we needed Visio, because if we would have had to develop this in a, well, custom manner with a custom graphical engine, this would have taken, well, years. With Visio, this was really merely a task of a few weeks to get this graphical engine and the graphical part working and, well, playing in the correct way with the rest of the software. This is just one of, I mean, this is just one of those screenshots showing you the huge amount of data, metadata, and different information which need to be stored. And yes, everything you see here is a specific component, a specific part, or a specific metadata element, which will then influence the diagram in some areas again. So that showed, or that said, let's go to the VSMI in action, let's go to the software itself, and I'll head over to Maria again.
Thank you.
Just go ahead.
All right, so this is how the editor interface looks like. So what we have on this side is we basically have the levels of recursion, the thing I was talking to you before. So here we have another example, but you could take any example here and say this is corporate level of some company with its business units, which is then again has their own business units. So this is the basic structure setup. So what the software does, or maybe, Shenna, you will just add the technical details to make it more interesting to the audience. What we wanted as consultants is basically we said whenever we create a system one, let's say I want to say that the region Europe is split up again into countries. So I want to add another level of management. I just want to be able to go and click and say I want to add a system. So then the software asks me the necessary information that the VSM model, so the consulting tool, requires. So what I will do, I will just fill in some dummy text in here. Let's say this is England. And then you just enter the management level. I will just say that's a country. Sorry, this is the American system. I'm not very familiar with that here. And then you select a head of that unit, and then you save. So basically what it does is it's creating another unit. So it's creating a business unit under region Europe. So what happens here, you can see it here already, country England is set up, and then it has a warning. This is a warning because the VSM logic requires that you have more than just one system. So the software is basically also guiding you to do the right things. So it has a lot of little steps that are not allowed because the logic doesn't allow it. Anyway, so I will just do another system here. Click quickly, France, country, and ahead. Okay. So you see it generates boxes, but at the same time, it also generates empty VSM drawings. I will show you that in a minute when the software is done creating that. So basically, what is generated here is also generated here. So for every box, you have a drawing. So if I click in here, I would have on this side, the drawing for region Europe. If I click into health, it will show me the VSM drawing of health. Basically, right now, it all looks the same because it's just the basic structure that you have. Now comes the next step, and now it's getting more interesting because now we're feeding information into the software that is slowly going to be fed into the drawing, but we don't see that until the very end. So the first thing that we do is we do this thing called variety engineering. Irrelevant is just basically a method where you generate those critical management tasks I was talking before. Now, I don't want to bother you with all that. That's going to take way too long. So we pre-filled something. Let's see. We already did that for this business unit. So what you do here is basically you start describing your business unit in a certain way, and then you start defining those tasks. method, as I said, irrelevant. What's relevant is that you slowly gather information. So this is the first step of gathering information. Then you move on and you go to the next step, which you will recognize, as I explained it before, which is basically you have a list of all those tasks gathered and you consolidate all those tasks. And then what you do as a next step is basically allocating those tasks onto the levels, what I was saying before. So you're saying this critical management task belongs to this business unit. This task belongs to that unit. So what happens is, you can imagine that, is that this information is basically virtually thrown into those viable systems. But you don't see that yet. What you see, though, is you see a translation of this information into a system function chart. So you're not filling out anything. This is generated by the CMT allocation. And what you do here is you're slowly starting to fill up each of those viable systems, each of those business units. Let's pick one of them here so you can see what I mean. Let's pick tennis again. So what you see here, you see all those critical tasks that you have allocated to the business unit tennis, and you build up the organization from that. So you say, I have this critical task, who is going to take care of that task? So you see here, we've already said that some of these tasks are going to be taken care of by the CEO, by the head of marketing. Let's create a new one. So what you do now is you basically go from the task and create your organization saying, I want to add, I need for the task you see on the first line, I need another committee. So you say, I'm going to create an actor. And this committee is going to be called coordination committee. Then you fill in any information that you want to fill in. So what's the description, the purpose, the goal, all the information that you have on this committee. So it's basically already the job description of that committee. Then you say, does it have decision making? Does it have any participants? Yes. This is the head, this is the members, and then you save it, and then you create another committee. And basically now I want to show you what happened with that. So all of what you see here is then at the end, if I close this, and if I go into this graphic, pull it over, is basically, sorry, this is, the mouse is not really working. Anyways, so what you see here is that this information that you saw from the functional chart is translated into drawings. And each of those actors have a specific shape. So a committee has a shape that is more with rounded corners. A function is a circle. So we have the graphic elements, which is again Visio that we're using. So what we're saying is you select an actor type. For each actor type, we have a defined graphic element from Visio. So we have the information, and we have Visio that is programmed to know what shape to use and what shape to throw into those viable systems. So at the end, you're basically having a generated all the business units by filling in a functional diagram. Now you're going to say, what am I going to do with that? So nice, I created it now. Now, if you go into the viewer mode, maybe you can switch the software so we can see it. You can basically go into those boxes, and you can double-click it, and then the information that you fed in before, you find it there. Now, what's the purpose of all that? I don't know if you're interested. I'm going to say it anyways. The purpose of that is, basically, this is a software for management. So what it is, it's basically a navigation system through your company. So let's say you have a director of a business unit, and he's gone, and he needs to know what's going on, and he has his phone or his laptop, and he can go wireless and go into his organization and click through the system and see what's happening, because it's not only what you've seen so far that is in there, it's also what is happening. So this is a system that is living. So you feed in information like what came out of a meeting, so all the minutes of a meeting. So let's say I'm missing a meeting, I can't be there because my flight was delayed. I land, I have a next meeting, I go into the software, I click into the meeting, I check what is the minutes of that meeting, I read it, and I'm done. Or I can say, okay, I need to give it to my assistant. I tell the software, send an email to my assistant to read that. So it's basically a navigation tool for management. This is the purpose of this whole software.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Now comes a little bit of the technical part again. What you see here, and that's why I haven't switched any view or any viewer type, is that the Visio portion of it, so the diagrams, and the metadata part of it very nicely hand data away, well, one to the other, and one is influencing the other back again. So if you look, for example, here, you will see, apparently, that's two Visio diagrams. That's one of those showing you the recursion structure. And that's the other one, which much more looks like Visio, where you see the shapes, the elements. If I click on that, you will recognize this as being standard Visio shapes. However, what you also do see here is that these shapes follow very, very strict rules, that the placement, the text, the metadata is being stored in a very specific way. However, it was very natural to use Visio here because we didn't have to concentrate too much on the visualization part. We could concentrate on the, well, we not want this object, please place another object inside of that object, fill it with the specific metadata. And as you see here again, for those of you who use Visio regularly, well, it's still standard Visio. However, it is used as the so-called Visio drawing control, which is basically Visio inside of a control. But it's a full Visio, so what you will need to make the software running in that mode is a copy of Visio on your client. Now, of course, this is nice for the editors, but it may not be so nice for just viewers. So what the software also does is, what you could do is you could switch it in the so-called viewer mode. You would almost see, it just takes in this environment a little bit too long, but I can show you later on. It switches between the Visio drawing control, which is a full-featured version of Visio, to the Visio viewer control. The Visio viewer control itself will look almost the same. However, you will not be able to modify anything. You will be able to see the diagram. You will be able to see even the generated metadata, but you will not be able to click on any of the shapes. You will not be able, well, to move. Maria talked in the beginning of her presentation also about the bidirectional mode. So, well, I mean, that's the way we start. Well, we do the structure. We define the basic structure. We go through all the levels of the organization. However, we could also go the other way around, and that is, well, just fill in some data at some, well, chosen level and then let the software generate, well, the rest of the system structure around it. So again, Visio was the very natural this choice to be able and to have these diagrams generated and still let the users, as you've seen here through the CMT list, through the allocation, go forth and back between the diagram and the metadata, influencing the diagram in any way, or even another diagram, because that's a second diagram, which will then show you the basic structure of the organization. So this diagram is influencing the system diagram. Some changes in the system diagram might even influence, again, the structure, the recursion structure. So as you see, it's a very, very simple way of using. And still, whoever knows how to use Visio will immediately understand how this user interface is to be used. Now, the question is also why and how and when would Visio 2013 be the important component and why? Well, Visio 2013 has a few very, very nice extensions which we decided to use inside of this solution. Now, the first of them was, it is a diagramming engine. It is still a diagramming engine. We still have the Visio drawing control. We have the viewer control. And that means there is no end-user training necessary. Whoever knows how to use Visio, and to be honest, even those who don't know it, whoever knows how to, well, play solitaire will know how to use Visio diagrams in the basic step. I mean, it's click, double-click, place elements, etc. So the amount of training necessary for the graphical part is, well, literally zero. In Visio 2013, we do have a lot of enhancements and extensions which make the diagrams look nicer, shinier, which will, of course, also help end users to create more professionally-looking diagrams in terms of the visualization and the effects, the so-called effects of the software. What we are also planning for the next step of the solution is to use the new commenting and collaboration features of Visio services, which are part of SharePoint 2013, which also will enable users, well, to discuss about the diagram, to make modifications in the same moment, and then, well, decide, okay, should we modify the system like this? Should we modify the system like that? To have a commenting history on that. So the commenting feature will enable teams to be able to modify diagrams together to really, well, also store the discussion, well, why did we decide to go on with this system in that way? Why did we decide to use these, well, committees or whatever we decided to be the specific actors of the software? So Visio was, as said, the natural choice to use and to generate those diagrams, and SharePoint was the natural choice. As you see here, how the commenting feature is planned to work. As said, this is planned for the release after this initial release comes out. So these are the basic features why we decided to use Visio, of course, and why we also decided to use SharePoint as the persistence mechanism. So that, in general, is the idea of the software, why the software was developed as it is, and, of course, the current state of the development as a supporting tool for the consultants. If you have any further questions, we'd be more than happy to take them now. I'd just like to, while we're taking questions, to show you also the other sessions, the other Visio sessions, which are about to happen at this conference. Some of them have already happened. Some of them will happen or are happening as the labs during the whole time of the conference. So I'd like to open the question and answer session part. Yes, please. Well, the question is, who have we to show the diagrams to? So,
do you mean what clients or? Well, basically, at the organization, the thing that people look at is the output. It's basically the drawings and you clicking through the drawings. The diagrams are just the way to get to that end. So basically, the people that are involved in projects through the project are involved into looking at those diagrams. So it's basically the internal development team of a company and the consultants. And then, obviously, because it's a viable system that develops, when you want to redesign your organization, you have to go back into those diagrams and make readjustments, or you could just go the other way around and just modify your organization from the drawing. So you might as well just forget about those diagrams once you're done with a project. So it's basically the experts and the people that work with the consultants that go and look at those diagrams. Does that answer your question? Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Are you utilizing this tool from a project management perspective, or you are also logging for the individual file in more detail? Are you doing more details than what we see?
If we have more, I couldn't hear you acoustically. So if we are just.
This tool to enter the business profile.
Yeah. Yeah, well, basically, we're imputing all the information that is needed to manage an organization. So all the information that goes down up to a level, because if you add too much of it, it's not anymore a management tool. And what we want to depict is basically how you manage your business. So you don't go into those details. You can, but we advise not to. Otherwise, it gets too much. But you go into a certain amount of detail. So you will go and describe things in a lot of detail. But it didn't make sense for me to show this to you right now. Any other questions? Technical questions for Chennai? Okay. Well, if you're interested, as I said again, to read more about the model and how we use it in consultancy, you're welcome to pick up a brochure from here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.